Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without losing heart. He said there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. The widow in that town used to come to him and say, "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, "While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." The Lord said, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Today's question at the end of the Gospel is one of the most haunting a Christian can face. When the Son of Man comes, if the Son of Man were to come right now, would he find the faith that he wants to find in us? What would it mean for him to find us with faith? Today we focus on two aspects of what he wants to find. If we're living by faith, we will be praying. Pope Benedict used to say that prayer is faith in action. Jesus would call us to pray always, that there are specific times for prayer, but then the whole rest of our life is supposed to be in communion with God. Because prayer is not just an exchange of words. Prayer is not just an exchange of ideas or thoughts. Prayer is an exchange of persons. And our entire day, we're supposed to allow God to abide not just with us, but in us, and to abide in him. He gives this parable today about not just the invitation to pray always, but the necessity to pray always. What's the parable? It's a common sight at Jesus' time because many of the judges were corrupt. A widow who had no husband to intercede for her was going before a corrupt judge, and she didn't have the money to bribe him. And she had been taken advantage of by somebody else. Who knows who the person was? But the unjust judge wasn't responding. But she kept bugging him. And eventually, according to the parable, he gave in. He capitulated. "I'm unjust," he himself recognized. "But this woman is going to keep bothering me. Who knows? She might throw a high-heeled shoe across and hit me in the temple. So I'll give her what she deserves." Jesus uses that as an image. If a just, unjust judge would eventually capitulate, how much more would a heavenly Father who loves, who's tender, who's provident, hear the prayers of those who reach out to him? Pope Francis, back in 2013, gave a well-known reflection on this passage in which he said, Jesus gives us the permission to bother him in prayer. He asked publicly, I don't think I should be saying the word bother God, but Jesus has given us the green light to bug the Lord. And he wants us to persevere. Sometimes we'll ask the question, if he already knows what we need before we ask it, why doesn't he give it even before we ask it? Why does he even have us ask it once, not to mention twice, not to mention sometimes 70 times, 7 times? Why sometimes do we have to turn to him for months or for years for something? Didn't he promise us that if we asked him for a loaf of bread, he wouldn't give us a stone? If we asked him for a fish, he wouldn't give us a poisonous eel. Why does he make us persevere in prayer? Pope Francis answered that. And he said quite powerfully that we pray as we live and we live as we pray. And if we're ever going to persevere in life, we've got to learn how to persevere in prayer. Because if we're a quitter in prayer, if we pray once, we pray twice, we pray a third time, and if God doesn't respond according to our time scale, we say, well, obviously he doesn't want it, and then we quit on prayer. We might do the same thing in life. And so God, out of love, trains us how to persevere in faith and life through occasionally having us have to persevere in prayer. That's the first way Jesus wants to find faith on earth when he comes. Second way is through charity. St. Paul tells us very clearly that if we have true faith, it will work itself out in love. We can't say we believe in God and then stiff each other. St. John will tell us, if we say we love God but we don't love our neighbor, we're a liar. The entrance antiphon today, Jesus makes quite clear that our love for him is shown in our love for our neighbor. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. He takes personally. Jesus didn't say, love me as I have loved you. He said, love one another as I have loved you. When he asks Peter after the resurrection, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter three times said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus didn't say, great, Peter, I love you, you love me, we're one happy family. No, he didn't say that. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Peter's love for Jesus would be shown in the way that he would love others. Faith for us is always faith in action. If we say we believe in God, but don't love God, don't love our neighbor, we're self-deceived. So we need to persevere in charity if we're going to persevere in faith. Today's first reading is all about that. What a powerful passage it is. I know both Father Gus and Father Dennis are lamenting because the church gets to preach on this once every 2 years. And so they're going to have to wait until 2020 to get their shot. It's the only time we get the third letter of St. John. And what is it? Beloved, you are faithful in all you do for your brothers and sisters, especially for strangers. They have testified to your love before the church, your faith working through love. Please help them in a way worthy of God to continue their journey. The Christians in this church to whom St. John was writing this letter were distinguished precisely because of the way their faith would flow out to deeds. And he specifies something that's very important for us in the United States. By the way you love strangers. Jesus in Matthew 25 says we're going to be judged, among other things, by receiving him in the disguise of a stranger. So when we turn our hearts stiffly toward migrants, and we treat them differently than we would treat Jesus, or treat Joseph and Mary, or treat a brother or a sister, we're essentially treating Jesus Christ that way. This needs to stoke our consciences. Sure, we can have secure borders. We've got to be good shepherds protecting people. But at the end of the day, is it flowing from xenophobia, a real fear of the stranger? Or is it flowing ultimately for love for people here and for people coming? If it's not, it's not worthy of a fully Christian response. We have to love others through deeds. Otherwise, we're not faithful. And frankly, with a lot of these strangers who are coming, they have set out for the sake of the name. They want to love their own children. They want to be able to provide. And they're expecting, especially from Christians, to find the hospitality that they would receive if Mary and Joseph were here, ready to receive them. Today the church celebrates the feast of a saint who put both of these expressions of faith into action. St. Elizabeth of Hungary only lived for 24 years. She was betrothed to her future husband when she was young, just a girl. She lived in her castle. She was the daughter of the King of Hungary. She was betrothed to the Landgrave of Thuringia. She grew up a very pious girl. Eventually, when she was 16 and he was 24, they married. They lived together for only 8 years. He died, and then she died. And she was distinguished by her charity. She would every day leave the castle, which was Wartburg Castle on top of a mountain, and go down precisely to care for the poor. Because the poor couldn't come up the tall hill, she built a hospice at the bottom. And there she would go, and every single day she would at least wash the feet of 6 poor people. She fed by her own hands 900 a day. After her husband had died, she had started to sell all that she had in order to care for the most disgusting cases of the poor. And she eventually entered a monastery, precisely in order to be able to continue that charitable work until the end. Her spiritual director, St. Conrad, wrote about her, that she was one of the most contemplative people he had ever met. She's a married woman, but she was like a mystic in ordinary life. And her contemplation of the face of Jesus in prayer led her to find his face far more easily in the distressing disguise of the poor. It's one famous scene while her husband was still alive. There had been an outbreak of leprosy, Hansen's disease, there where she was. And everybody was running away for obvious reasons from the leper. There was no place in the city where he could be effectively quarantined. But the queen knew. She said the castle's totally protected. And so she brought this leper up to the castle and placed him in the royal bedroom, in the royal bed. Her husband had been out hunting, came back, went into the room, found the leper there, totally disgusted and totally afraid of what would happen. He started screaming at the leper. He tried to drag all the sheets away so that he wouldn't catch the contagion or that it wouldn't totally affect the bed. But as he was pulling away the sheets, he recognized something that his wife had always said, but that the truth of which hadn't yet penetrated his own soul. He saw that the leper had stigmata. That the leper, the way that he approached the leper was the way that he should have been approaching Jesus with his sacred stigmata. So he allowed the leper to stay. Eventually, the leper had received a miracle there and was cured. But St. Elizabeth of Hungary's example for us is a real sign of what faith looks like. Somebody who contemplates the face of Christ until that face is so omnipresent that we're able to start to see the Lord in each other. And then when we see the Lord in each other, that we respond to the other the way we would respond to Jesus himself. And the great means that God gives us every day to put our faith into action happens right here at this altar. As we come with faith to be able to receive the King of Kings, and then united with him, go out to love. When the Lord comes, may he find this twofold, prayerful and charitable faith in each of us. Praise be Jesus Christ.